talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Going right to the front lines in Ukraine. The genocidal attack on Ukraine continues. Let me give you the update and then some thoughts right now. Russia is obviously planning a ground invasion from the north, from Belarus, down into Kyiv. There were reports hours ago that there are, quote, trainloads of Russian soldiers, end quote, pouring into Belarus right by the Ukrainian border. This is ostensibly in retaliation, according to Putin, for the bombing of the Kerch Bridge. Kerch Bridge is the longest bridge in Europe, connects Crimea and Russia. Symbolically, was representative of Russia's claim on Crimea, which they illegally stole back in 2014. Putin himself went and dedicated it at the time. This was considered a very big deal. Then it got bombed. I want to talk about that before I talk about the imminent ground invasion and what we can do about it. Russia has blamed Ukraine for the bombing. Here are the facts that are not in dispute. It was a truck bomb or an explosion on a truck. But what truck, what direction was it coming from? And was it just a bomb? Russia transports fuel, it transports explosive and ammunition over that bridge all the time. They've had many, many mishaps around Russia itself, deep in Russia, and these were not sabotage. They've had their explosions. A British Army analyst theorized that it's possible that the truck was one of the ones that Russia was hauling ammo in and blew up. I don't think we have to get that far. There's a much more interesting fact to me, and that is the truck was not coming from the Ukraine side. From the Crimea side. It was coming from the Russian side. It was a Russian truck. And it was coming over the bridge into Crimea. And I'm assuming it blew up. It did blow up. I'm assuming that it wasn't just ammo, that there was a bomb on it. But now there's some respectable people looking at this who say, well, yes, this was somebody who was an adversary of Putin. Yes, this is someone who is opposed to the invasion of Ukraine. But these were Russians. There's a big, big movement in Russia to oust Putin and standing up against this savage attack on Ukraine. The significance of that is this. Ukraine hasn't taken responsibility for it yet. No intelligence service has been able to pin it on Ukraine. But if it was Russian dissenters, so-called Russian agitators against Putin, that's very, very embarrassing to Putin. It's also embarrassing to the FSB, which is the old KGB with just new initials. They still arrest people, torture them. They're still a terror police, Stalin's police. So what do we do about this? The second thing that you've got to keep in mind is there's a growing consensus among experts that this was not exclusively in retaliation for the bombing of the Kerch Bridge. Why do I say that? Because Russia is incapable, and this is the consensus, of mounting a coordinated missile attack with 83 missiles coming down on a few days' notice. There's pretty much unanimity that this is because Russia was losing the ground war. Putin needed to show some chops to the various oligarchs who were licking their chops to knife him and take over themselves. And when the bridge blew up, portion of it blew up, Putin hastily assigned that as the reason. Now, the weapons and the defense systems we've provided to Ukraine have been very effective in this respect. 43 of the 83 incoming missiles were stopped. Think of the Iron Dome that Israel has that stops most, but not all, of the missiles raining in from Gaza or Lebanon supplied by the Iranians. And by the way, the Iranians supplied drones. They supplied drones here to the Russians, and some of those drones were used to kill Iranians. This is a separate issue, but at some point, when Iran is providing missiles and drones to kill people in Israel and Ukraine, there comes a time where Iran itself and those production facilities have to be bombed. But anyway, to get back to Ukraine, what do we do at this point? We've already told them that we'll provide them two advanced anti-aircraft systems. They're called NASAMS, NASAMS, National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile Systems. And these are smart systems that'll take down even more than 43 out of 83 missiles when they're launched again. And apparently we're about to send them to them. They'll get them in about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. It would be nice if they'd gotten them 6 months ago. But anyway, there's another issue here that we haven't been talking about. Defensive systems are all well and good. They're all well and good. But what about offensive systems? There is a system called the S-300 that is an old Soviet defense system that we have either captured or was abandoned by Soviets in the past, Soviet states, and those are being supplied to Ukraine too, and they can be outfitted with a Patriot missile. So that's something. But what about offense? Here's what it comes down to. The HIMARS, and these are the smart targeted missiles, we originally gave them Stingers and we gave them Javelins. Remember that? That goes back to February. Stingers and Javelins. A Stinger is an anti-aircraft missile. It can take down a helicopter or something up to 20,000 feet. It has no good above that. The Javelins can take out a tank. They're shoulder held. You have to get somewhat close to the tank. And that is what Ukraine has been working with for months. A couple of months ago, Biden stepped it up and gave them HIMAR missiles. Now, HIMAR missiles are smart missiles, guided missiles, that can hit from 50 miles away, 5-0. So somebody can launch a HIMAR missile from 50 miles. 50 miles is roughly Milwaukee to just south of Sheboygan. It's a long distance. But Ukraine's the size of Texas, and Russia is over 11 time zones. So 50 miles is all well and good, but that's still pretty close you got to get to take these people out. There's another HIMARS system that can launch from 190 miles away. And there was discussion, and I don't know the accuracy of it, but I'll throw it out, that there's one that can hit from 300 miles away. But let's take 190 miles away. 190 miles is roughly the distance from Milwaukee to just outside of La Crosse. If the Ukrainians had that, they could launch from relative safety of different areas in the west and the northwest and take out the Ruskies. And here's my fear, and here's the request to Joe Biden. And part of Joe's constraint, Joe has been magnificent in whipping NATO together and standing up to the Ruskies. But he has Germany dragging its feet. It promises to send stuff, and it doesn't do it. There's France dragging its feet. There's Hungary dragging its feet. So he also has to keep, Biden does, the coalition in NATO and the EU around intervention. And he's also being stabbed in the back in the United States by fellow travelers of Putin, the Russian communist turned mafia boss Putin. Who are these fellow travelers? Tucker Carlson's a fellow traveler. Donald Trump is. Crooked Mike Pompeo. Lying Josh Hawley. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene, the right-wing fascist right of the Republican Party, are the fellow travelers of Putin. So Joe is somewhat constrained, but here's the message from me, an old supporter of Joe, and I think a lot of people listening to the show. Joe, get them the HIMARS from 190 miles. Get them to him right away. The Russian troops are massing with Belarusian troops on the Belarus border right now. Lukashenko, the pig that runs Belarus, he's a Putin slave. He lost an election badly, but he just sent people around with machine guns and kept in power, is turning over Belarus to attack Ukraine. If the Ukrainians had HIMARS from 190 miles away, they could hit those Russian troops and Belarusian troops right at the border. If you're kind of squeamish about it, wait till it's step 2 feet into Ukraine. If you're not all that squeamish, and I'm not that all that squeamish, Belarus does not have nuclear weapons. Hit them as they mass in Belarus. The Russians have just put in charge of all these operations a guy named General Sergei Surovkin. He's one of the most brutal people in their military. He genocided people in Syria. He simply looks on people. He's a Nazi. They have a Nazi general run by a Nazi fake President Putin and a Nazi puppet, Lukashenko. These people have got to be killed. They're not going to be killed with stingers, and they're not going to be killed with javelins, and they're not going to all be killed. Not enough of them, the 50-mile HIMARS. They need 190-mile HIMARS. They need better air defense systems now. And for the umpteenth time, get them airplanes. Get them airplanes to attack. Get the Ukrainians airplanes. They don't have to be F-35s, F-16s. Get them airplanes to attack these people. We're going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. The gambler, the backbiter. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Back to Matt Flynn Direct. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, how'd you like a little preview of what would happen if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate? Or even just one of them. How'd you like a preview? Well, I'm going to give you a preview. And I'm not the author of the preview. I'm not speculating. I'm passing on what they've said, what they've just said. And it's chilling. It's not just one individual. I'm going to give you three individuals. Rick Scott from Florida, the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, in charge of all Republican Senate campaigns, former governor of Florida, former CEO of a large healthcare company that ran up the largest criminal fine for Medicare fraud in history, over $1 billion. And when he was subpoenaed to testify, he took the Fifth. Florida apparently likes that. They like guys that take the Fifth. You know what they do? They don't go, he took the Fifth, which means he refused to answer on the grounds that might incriminate him, over $1 billion in a Medicare fine. We don't want him. No, that's not what they said. They said, we want more of that. And they made him governor. And then we want more of that. Made him a senator. And Mitch McConnell and the Republicans go, we want more of that. Put him in charge of their campaigns. So he's the first one. Second one is Blake Masters. Blake Masters, running for the Senate in Arizona against Mark Kelly, the astronaut, excellent guy, should win. Blake Masters is strange, very, very strange. He's a strange ranger. To say he's a Trumper and right-wing and a conspiracy theorist is to understate what he's like. He's a walking pathology. And Chip Roy of Texas, a congressman, a right-wing nut, Trump election denier. All three of these people have said that when the Republicans get in, if they get in, they will shut down the government if they don't do what they, if Biden doesn't do what they dictate to him. And what are they going to dictate to him? They're going to say, you must immediately agree to overturn. We're going to pass it. You're going to sign it. The soft infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act. You are immediately going to prohibit once again the federal government from negotiating bulk discounts for pharmaceuticals with pharmaceutical companies. You're going to immediately remove any cap for pharmaceuticals on senior citizens. And so on down the line, you are immediately going to change all of the climate change resolution provisions of that act. And that's just number one. That's not the only act. If you do not do that, we will shut down the government. We've done it before. Ted Cruz led it one time. Newt Gingrich led it one time. One time they shut it down for almost 2 months. The FBI didn't get paid. Coast Guard didn't get paid. A lot of federal employees didn't get paid. Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce under Trump, shrugged and he said, well, anybody who doesn't get paid should go to the bank, get a loan, line of credit, pay their expenses, and then when they get paid, they pay it back. He's a wealthy man. He's also a director of the Bank of Cyprus, which is a money laundering bank for the Russian mob. Bank of Cyprus was used to funnel money to Trump. So far, none of these people have been indicted. Wilbur Ross has never been indicted. Trump hasn't been indicted. These people say stuff like that. The average person, say a single mom with two kids and doesn't get paid, guy with a wife who works at home and a couple of kids doesn't get paid. What do you think happens to them if they go to the bank, any bank, and walk in, shuffling, rubbing their hands, looking sorrowful, and saying, could you lend me $5,000 so I can feed my family, buy fuel, pay rent, pay some health insurance, buy school supplies for my kids, and for a couple of months until the Republicans start paying me again? What do you think would happen? They wouldn't get the loan. They wouldn't get the loan. They would not get the loan. This is what the Republicans are not just threatening. Blake Masters has made it a campaign theme against Mark Kelly in Arizona. Chip Roy, and I've got to say this just on the side. What kind of pathology invests districts that will even elect a Chip Roy or a Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or Matt Gaetz or Mo Brooks or a Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan? What kinds of people are these? They're gerrymandered, of course, gerrymandered, but still deep down in their hearts, they know exactly what I am just saying. And that is apparently okay with a large majority of them. Chip Roy said it is not just the Inflation Reduction Act that he has to undo. He has to undo everything he did in his first term, but we will hold the government hostage. Now, Rick Scott, it's Florida. It's a big state. This is a guy who was an executive, even though he's crooked executive. Head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee. And he went along with this. So let me be very blunt. If you vote Republican in this race for any legislative position like that, you are going to vote to shut down the government because Biden will not blink. is not going to sign anything as crooked as that. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to talk about a case. Talked about it before. I do not think that you or most people realize the effect that it will have on everything involving the United States. It's the case of Moore v. Harper, pending in the U.S. Supreme Court. Oral argument will be conducted shortly. And the court will issue a decision. What's required to issue the decision by July 1 won't work that long. Get it in the late winter, early spring. But here's what Moore v. Harper would do if the Supreme Court rules the way that some people think it will. It will permit state legislators, not the Supreme Court of their state, not the governor of their state. There'll be no veto power. There'll be no review by the state Supreme Court under the state constitution to do whatever they want with federal elections. Now, you may say, well, that's not going to happen. And okay, I mean, what are they really going to do? Pay attention to this. The theory is called the independent state legislature theory. And it relies on some words in the Constitution that this Supreme Court is deliberately twisting to come to a result. What it says is that the state legislatures can set various terms of federal elections unless Congress decrees otherwise. Now, Congress could regulate federal elections. That was the reason for H.R. 1 and S.B. 1, voting rights. It wasn't just voting rights. It would set not just times of elections, a reasonably small absentee ballot window, rules about sufficient voting machines based on population, some very reasonable things. Republicans filibustered it, and Manchin and Sinema knifed us by not suspending the filibuster for those one, or that one set of legislation. But with Congress not doing anything, the Constitution doesn't say that what the legislature does, you know, can't even be signed by the governor, doesn't matter. It doesn't say that the state Supreme Court can't review it. It just says the legislature in its normal process can do things. And that means subject to the governor's veto and the state Supreme Court's interpretation. The U.S. Supreme Court, the argument is they're going to cut those off arbitrarily and just say the state legislature can do whatever they want. Now, right now, Republicans control state legislatures completely. In other words, Assembly and Senate, and they control 307 electoral votes. In other words, they control states that in the aggregate of 307 electoral votes. That's 37 more than are needed to elect the president. You only need 270 electoral votes to elect a president. And they have legislative majorities, gerrymander majorities, in a couple of key battleground states. Pennsylvania is one of them. Wisconsin's another one. Michigan's another one. Here's what this means. If they issue this decision, as some think they will, the state legislature can simply pass a law that the governor can't veto and the state Supreme Court can't overturn and no federal court can overturn it. That says the state legislature will pick the electors. Last time they would have picked Trump's electors because Robin Voss sneakily convened a meeting for fake electors in the Capitol. He's the one that reserved the room. So you could have an election, Biden wins by 20,000 votes, and Voss and the legislature say, well, we're giving all the electoral votes to Trump. That easily can and will happen in states accounting for 307 electoral votes. That means that the presidency will be given to whoever the Republican nominee is, because going forward, they will also perpetuate their gerrymander. Even though Democrats sometimes get more than 50% of the votes for the legislature. Do you see what I was talking about when I said that fascism creeps in on little cat's feet? This isn't a little cat's foot. This is a tiger foot. Now, what is the consequence of your losing your right to vote directly for president? And you lose your right to even vote indirectly, because it doesn't matter who you vote for in the legislature, because it's gerrymandered. If you're in a Republican district, the Republicans are going to win. Democratic district, the Democrats are going to win. But the Democrats right now get about a third of the assembly votes, and they get over 50% of the popular vote. You see what I'm getting at? They have found a way to use non-elected people, first of all, to gerrymander and then bootstrap it. But really, you'll say, okay, yeah, that's bad. And maybe, you know, Trump is bad. Maybe he won't run again. How bad is this? Well, if you don't fight for the right to vote for president, let me tell you what can happen. What will happen? The Republican Party will pull us out of NATO. You will have no control over your foreign policy by vote. None. If we were not in NATO, Putin would already be in Eastern Estonia and Poland and Lithuania and Latvia, because there are some Russian speakers there. It'd be like the Donbass in Ukraine. The only thing that keeps commie Ruskies, commies, jihadists, commies, Chinese commies, North Korean commies in line is the United States. And the only thing that supports that is a free vote for president by everybody in the United States that sometimes produces a Republican president and sometimes produces a Democratic president. But overall, the pressures, the electoral pressures are so strong that nobody dares abandon our interests. Trump will abandon our interests. DeSantis will abandon our interests. And everybody can say, we don't want to come out of NATO. Doesn't matter. The second thing that will happen is that Social Security will be eliminated. Now, you may say, come on, Matt. Democrats have been saying that for a long time, since Franklin Roosevelt got it passed in 1935. And Democrats have been right. And Franklin Roosevelt was right. Why do I say that? Because no Republicans are going to come right out and say, let's get rid of Social Security. That's not the way fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. What they say is that it has to be reauthorized every year. Now, some years, if we're in a recession, they may say, we can't afford it this year. But most years, they'll say, at least at first, we can afford it, but we can't afford all of it. So everybody's going to get a haircut. And then they'll say, even wealthy people get haircuts. Well, if a wealthy person gets $3,000 a month and they take a haircut of a third, they get $2,000 a month. They don't care. But if somebody who gets $1,500 a month ends up getting $1,000 a month, that can be the difference in pharmacy, rent, and food. Do you understand that America is its middle class, and its middle class was created by labor unions and Social Security? Do you understand that? If it were not for labor unions and Social Security, wages would be low, there'd be no worker rights whatsoever. Older folks, just like before Franklin Roosevelt, wouldn't have a meal every day, might eat cat food, live in a hut, not afford everything, have a degraded form of life. When I was a kid, I lived in Mexico for 2 years. I did the second and third grade down there because my dad was a professor and writing a book using original sources at the National Library of Mexico. Really enjoyed it. Wonderful people, Mexico City. But if you went around town, there were these huge garbage dumps. And I don't know if you've ever been in the Milwaukee area, but there's a huge sort of garbage dump in Germantown. Seagulls are flying over it all the time. It does bad things to the groundwater. But in Mexico, whole families lived on these garbage dumps. These are destitute families. Kids ran around that much clothes on, playing on a garbage dump. And then there were houses in some areas that were very luxurious, that had barbed wire fences around them and Doberman pinschers in the yard. And that was it. It was a long time ago, but no middle class. Some people in the Republican Party think that it's okay to gamble with having no middle class. You just have to go to Mexico City. Hopefully Mexico City is doing better. Been a while since I've been there. Go to India. Go to Africa. Go to other places in South America. You see people living in gated homes, afraid for their lives, dogs, guards, and a lot of people living on garbage dumps. They're coming up to you at a stoplight and sticking their hand through the window with sores on their arms, begging. We need a middle class. We need labor unions. We need Social Security. In Moore v. Harper, what the Supreme Court is planning to do is evil. I don't use that term lightly. Not a superstitious individual. But Alito, here's the thing. There are six Republican justices. Three of them appointed by Trump. One of them, Amy Comey Barrett, appointed when the Republicans sat on an appointment for a year under Obama. And the decision in Moore v. Harper to permit gerrymandered legislatures controlling 307 electoral votes to simply look on a presidential election as a beauty contest and give it to Trump or any Republican, that is an illegitimate decision, will be, by an illegitimate court. One of the fictions of American constitutional law is that we have three co-equal branches of government. One of them is not elected. That's the Supreme Court. But the underlying premise is that they're honest, that they're not out to destroy the country. What happens if you have a Supreme Court, I'll give you an extreme case, that's bribed by Putin? What if you did? Would you obey their rulings? This is the equivalent of that. But what is it? What is their ruling that you wouldn't obey? They're not saying that they're going to do anything. They're just saying that in the legislatures, state legislatures can do anything. And their Supreme Court and governor can't intervene. That's all they're saying. Well, what are you going to do here with Voss? LeMahieu? What are you going to do with every Republican hack you see stumbling in a wide short tie around a sponfarkle in your district, grinning and groping, grip and grin, grinning and gripping? What are you going to do? What do people in France do with the mayor of Paris and their king? I know what they did. What do people in Merry Old England do with their king in 1649? I know what they did. We don't want that again. What did George Washington do when British judges and kings told him what to do? I know what he did, but I don't want to have to do that again. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. This doesn't even depend on this election. These people are not elected. They are illegitimate. Alito is illegitimate. Gorsuch is a big one on this. He's illegitimate. Both Thomas and Kavanaugh were sexually humiliated on television. They're angry. They want revenge. You sexually humiliate someone on television, they get angry and they seek revenge. This is an inauthentic, illegitimate Supreme Court. they are about to do this. Be very, very aware of this. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, when I say fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, that applies to Wisconsin. I'm going to take a probably not the most important aspect of it, but an example of it. We have a thing called the Wisconsin Election Commission. Wisconsin Election Commission, by law, is three Democrats, three Republicans. Up until Trump, up until the 2020 election, its decisions were usually 6-0, maybe 5-1. There's certain things that are just obvious. However, they're beginning to deadlock 3-3. They just deadlocked on advice to clerks around the state. You know, there's more than 1,400 of these clerks at various levels administering elections, and how to handle poll watchers. Now, this seems ridiculous. You know, when I was a kid, I knew neighbors who were poll, you know, they were poll clerks. You know, they go there, they make a few bucks, very social. They'd show up, open the polls, sit around 7 in the morning, nobody came, 7:15, somebody came, had a little coffee, got to talk, got to be very involved in a great civic duty, honest, scrupulous, honest as the day is long. Nobody listened to this broadcast has ever witnessed anything they felt was dishonest at a Wisconsin polling station. I mean, as simple as that, I'll say that definitively. Well, the Republicans are recruiting tens of thousands of poll watchers. What's a poll watcher? Poll watcher is someone who is permitted to go and observe. They cannot interfere. Depending on the state, they can't even interact with the voter. There are rules on where they can stand, that kind of thing. No one ever worried about that before, because there weren't any poll watchers until the Republicans, back a long time ago, this has got to be over 10 years ago, sent people in New Jersey to the polls to intimidate folks and disrupted the voting. Republican Party got sued, and they entered into what's called a consent decree. Said they won't do that again. However, the consent decree had a sunset date in it. It ended at some point. What was the sunset date? The sunset date is 2022. So now they have recruited thousands, tens of thousands of them, and the WEC had to decide what advice we're going to give the clerks. State law is pretty clear. These people have to stand between 3 and 8 feet away from any from the polling clerks, from the lists, from the people. However, the Republicans proposed guidance that would say they could stand within 3 feet. Then when they were caught, they said it was a mistake. And this is by one of them, the chairman, who was seen as sort of a regular moderate Republican. So they deadlocked on what they could be told. But let me tell you something. 3 feet, stand 3 feet away from somebody. Go ahead. If a 200-pound man is glaring a hate glare at a 98-pound, 80-year-old woman from that distance, she's going to feel uncomfortable. She may not vote. She may tell her friends, and they may not show up. This is what the Republicans want to do. In Texas, they've even criminalized it. If one of the regular election clerks gets up to use the bathroom and momentarily interrupts the line of sight from a poll-watching thug who is hate staring at a voter, that clerk has committed a criminal offense in Texas. and that's still on the books. Fascism creeps in on Little Cat's feet. The lines are alive. We can go to the lines. Cassandra Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Cassandra?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I just wanted to talk about this independent legislative theory and the Democratic Party's radio silence on it. They are, you know, I'm afraid they're going to be flat-footed. Similar to the Dobbs decision, there is no plan being enacted. There's no strategy that they are putting in place, and it's going to happen. And the leadership just does not seem to know what to do. They just can't take an offensive approach and fight some of this really bad legislation. One thing that I wanted to ask you about is that if the Supreme Court does support this theory, so basically even our governor whose duties are outlined in our state constitution, the Supreme Court could say that that's nullified. Our governor does not have the right to veto any of the election proposals the legislature submits, even though our state constitution allows him some input. Am I understanding correctly?
Thanks. Yes, you are understanding correctly. Everybody's saying we got to reelect Evers, and we do, so he can veto. The U.S. Supreme Court is about to rule, in my judgment, that he has no veto power and the state constitution is nothing because they're the Supreme Court. That's what they're about to rule, Cassandra. And let me tell you something else about that. Who are these Supreme Court justices? Three of them, I think, will do the right thing, obviously. Ketanji, Brown Jackson, and the others. And somebody like Roberts might go along, but it only takes 5-4. And one of them, Amy Comey Barrett, was confirmed in lame duck and nominated by a president who lost the election. So for 5-4, including people who are illegitimate, they are going to overturn 230 years of our Constitution. That's really what's going on. Wake up. And you're exactly right. Our leadership on Dobbs, everyone said Roe v. Wade will never be overturned. Are you kidding me? It happened. In this one, it only takes 4 votes to have something be heard by the Supreme Court. That means 4 of them are ready to go this way. It takes 1 more. And for all I know, 5 or 6 of them said they want to hear it. They will simply say it. I am telling you that that's illegitimate. They are evil. They are illegitimate. They're not elected. They are relying on 200 years of goodwill towards honest Supreme Courts. They're not an honest Supreme Court. You will lose your right to vote for president. They will put in people who lost the election, both electoral and popular vote. These people will hurt us in Social Security and foreign policy. Going to break. The lines are open. Don't hang up. I'll get you right after the break. 844-967-2799. Back after the break.